after this. That is one of 270 recordings made at UNESCO World Heritage listed sites as part of a project to capture the world's sonic heritage. Here's another one. When I say the Taj Mahal, you can probably picture it in your mind, but what does it sound like? Take a listen. Probably sounds quite different in the middle of the night when there aren't so many people there. But look, the Sonic Heritage Collection is a spin-off of Cities in Memory, which is a project that began by recording distinctive sounds of places across the world. All the sounds are available online for you to have a listen to. And then you'll also find a remix of each sound that's been done by a music artist. Now, Stuart Fox is the man behind Cities in Memory, which celebrates its 10th anniversary this year. He's a sound artist and field recordist, and he joins me now to tell you all about it. Hi, Stuart.
Hey there.
So when it comes to heritage sites and places with amazing history like the Taj Mahal or Machu Picchu or the Sistine Chapel, why does sound matter?
I think sound really matters, particularly in the context of heritage spaces like this, because we think of them kind of almost as postcards or sometimes even as like theme parks. And sound is really a transportative sense. It's kind of what you might call part of our full body experience of a place. So sound completes the picture. It shows you the life behind the postcard, and it shows you that these are living, breathing places where there are also, you know, people living and working, and they're not just about taking in the view, taking the selfie, taking the Instagram photo, or, you know, enjoying what these places look like. It's a really important part of how we experience them as a whole.
Yeah, that's right. It gives you all the dimensions, doesn't it, when you throw sound in there as well. And I guess smell, which is much, much harder to capture, isn't it? So we're going to hear a sample of now some recordings from Machu Picchu, which are in the collection. Right, that doesn't say ancient Incan ruins to me. What's that noise?
There's a whole bunch of different nature sounds. You've got guinea pigs, you've got horses.
Yeah, it was the guinea pigs that we played.
It was the guinea pigs, yeah. So those are kind of wild guinea pigs that are up on Machu Picchu. And this is kind of one of the things that indicates, you know, why these, that you don't get the full picture and, you know, just from the photograph. It's really interesting to hear what are the kind of sonic characteristics that make you kind of experience what it's like to be, you know, to be in that space. You know, I think one of the really interesting ones for me is the Sistine Chapel, which you would always think of as being a very reverential, you know, silent space of worship. But actually what happens in there is a very interesting sonic experience, because you'll be in there and there'll be some attendants who will be shouting silencio, silence, and everyone will drop into silence. Maybe one person will start whispering, two or three people will start whispering from there. Those whispers turn into mutters, and then within about 30 seconds to a minute, you have a total cacophony of a room full of voices just talking really, really loudly. It fills the whole space, and they have to shout silencio again, and you just wouldn't think of that as being such a chaotic sonic experience just from looking at, you know, the photo of Michelangelo's ceiling. But sound is really really adds a different dimension.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to have one more go. Hopefully I just changed the buttons to it so you can hear what I'm playing for you. Let's see if everyone at home can pick what this one might be. What are you thinking nightlife is? Stuart, can you hear it now?
Yeah, I think I know which one that is.
Yeah, what is it? It's also, it's the same country as the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah, Venice, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the sound of gondolas parked up, moored up at the side of St. Mark's Square, slopping on the water and banging into each other. So it's not the sound of, you know, gondoliers singing or being, you know, you being taken on a canal ride. It's the sound of those things at rest. And in a way, it's really interesting because it's a work sound. You know, the gondoliers, obviously, it is their job. That job is passed down through generations. You can only be a gondolier if you are a member of certain families who are kind of part of that lineage already. So it's really interesting to take that as a kind of work sound. And to me, those are some of the most interesting ones in the collection, where you can hear that these are living spaces where people actually kind of have jobs and are living their daily lives. They're not just full of tourists, they're full of life.
So Stuart, how did this whole project begin for you?
So Cities and Memories, a project I've been running since 2015, and it's about, well, the tagline for the project is remixing the world one sound at a time. So the idea is we collect field recordings, we collect the sounds of the world, and we offer them up to musicians and to sound artists anywhere in the world to create a reimagined composition. So they take the original field recording and they'll create a piece of music or a piece of sound art or something like that from it. And what they're doing there is they're applying, you know, their own, as well as their own artistry and their own skill, they're applying their own memories, their own experience, their own perspective of where they're from or their experience of the place they're listening to and creating something new out of it. So what that does is creates an entirely new way of listening to that place, an entirely kind of new form of listening. So there's a sound map which everyone can hear at citiesandmemory.com where you can navigate it by listening either to the sounds of the world as they are, so nature sounds, city sounds, the sounds of churches, the heritage sounds we were just talking about, or you can navigate the world through this kind of collective alternative sound world that's been created by musicians from all over the world.
Now, Stuart, do you get people to submit sounds to you, or do you say, hang on, these are the sounds that we need to go into our library and go out and get them?
Well, I'm always recording wherever I am, I'm always recording myself. But the project is completely open to anyone in the world, whether you're a professional musician or recordist, or whether you're just someone who's sticking your iPhone out of your window and recording an interesting sound you heard this morning. It's totally open to anyone to take part in. So if anyone's listening to this and, you know, they heard an interesting sound this morning or they hear one tomorrow, just record it on your iPhone and send it through to us, and we will get an artist working on it and making something interesting out of it. So it's been about 2,000 artists have taken part in total so far from all over the world.
Now, do you check whether the sound is kind of unique enough? I mean, I'm sure you were to have a lot of sounds of I don't know, traffic crossings, for example. How are we going to distinguish if it's, you know, in the middle of New York or some other city, or does that matter?
Well, all sounds are unique, really. You know, it's the same space can sound different at, you know, 5 or 6 different times in the day. It's different at night than it is in the day. And it's really interesting, in fact, not just to hear the differences between different places, but also the similarities. And this is one of the things that came out, for example, during a project we did to collect the sounds of the COVID-19 lockdowns, was to see the similar ways in which the sounds of the world were changing for everybody. And we were all kind of hearing similar things like applause for healthcare workers, or species of birds kind of that we hadn't heard before coming back into cities, or the lack of traffic noise. We
opera were experiencing singers on Italian balconies.
Exactly, that kind of thing, yeah. That's a little more unique. But yeah, we were all kind of experiencing the same thing, and sound was one of the ways in which we experienced it, and that was totally fascinating. But a lot of it is about similarity as much as difference, actually.
So, Stuart, I'm wondering, I mean, I guess it's been going for 10 years. You probably haven't had time yet to, although COVID's a good example, that if this project goes for a long time, you'll be able to hear how places have sounded different over the years.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this project started with me recording one sound under a bridge near my house in Oxford in the UK, and it's expanded now to have 7,000 sounds from 130 countries. And what I didn't expect, obviously, with it lasting for 10 years and carrying on, is that it accrues this different sort of sedimentary layer of documentary, where a sound is now, maybe it's a historical sound, maybe that sound's not there anymore, maybe 5 years on, things sound totally different. So there's also this real level of archiving things and you know, preserving sounds for posterity that becomes part of the project.
So I've got Stuart Folks with me, who is the founder of Cities and Memory and a sound artist and field recordist. Have you always been obsessed with sound, you know, since you were a kid, Stuart?
Yes, basically I have. I've always been a listener to the world around me, and sound has always meant quite a lot to me, and I've always responded really strongly to sound. And I think that's why I've kind of found myself seeing sound as something that all sound is possibility. All sound can be used creatively. You know, any given sound recording, you can do something interesting with it by manipulating it, playing around with it, you know, making it part of a musical track. There's basically infinite possibility through sound, and this project is about sharing that love for sound and sharing that kind of possibility that comes along with it as well.
So what is there a sound that you could pick out from all the ones that have been collected that really knocked you over, or that would be your favorite sound?
I mean, there are so many. I mean, even from the, you know, the Heritage Collection, there are so many to point out. Even a couple that I recorded myself. I remember going to the Tower of London and tracking down the ravens, the famous ravens at the Tower of London. There's a legend that says that if the 7 ravens at the Tower of London ever leave, then the tower will immediately crumble into dust and it will be disastrous for London and all that kind of thing. But obviously, they're surrounded by tourists the whole time. they have their own minds. They can kind of do whatever they want. So I had to chase them around for about 3 hours, basically, until I managed to corner them in this little area of the Tower of London. And there were just two ravens sitting on a wall talking to each other and looking at me, almost like they were talking about me. And I got the most perfect recording of these ravens. And I think the amount of time and effort that kind of went into it, chasing them around with the microphone, kind of really made it worthwhile. But there's so many little, every sound on there has got a little story behind it. And, you know, there's just so much to explore.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, I'm glad the ravens actually talked to you. Imagine if they just kind of clammed up when you got there. But then I guess that would have been a representation of their sonic landscape at that moment. Now, you know, you've got natural landscapes and man-made landscapes. Nature can actually be quite noisy, as this will demonstrate from the Amazon. Gosh, so many birds, aren't they? And just in that little snippet that you can hear.
Yeah, and even in the Sonic Heritage Project, it was amazing how many sounds were actually from the natural world. About one in five in the collection are actually natural soundscapes, because so many of the UNESCO sites are about things like migratory routes and protecting particular species and all those kinds of things. And so it's important to consider how over-tourism might affect those natural soundscapes just as much as it's affecting, you know, overcrowding in the Colosseum or the Sistine Chapel or something like that too.
Yeah. We're going to talk about an Australian location too. We've got Ningaloo Reef off the coast of WA. Have a listen to this. Now, Stuart, that might not be what people were expecting a reef to sound like. What is that that we're hearing?
So that's that I think was the sound of a wind turbine. So that's obviously, you know, about renewable power, but also how renewable power can change the soundscape of a place and sometimes, you know, change it for the worse as well. So this, it's the way in which, you know, when we consider things like renewable energy, we also need to consider what's the impact that, for example, the sound of a wind turbine can have on nature species in the area as well. It's a very complicated picture, and it just helps to show you how complex both preservation and energy and all these issues can be.
Yeah. Now, you talked about that effort you went to get the ravens. Is there a sound that you still don't have that you would like?
So many. I mean, like the project covers 130 countries at the moment, and you know, I'd be really keen to get more and more countries in there. It's particularly challenging to get a lot of recordings out of Africa. I think primarily because I haven't yet made the connections with the field recording communities across a lot of the African continent. There's obviously incredible sounds there, and a lot of people, I'm sure, making brilliant recordings, but a little harder to make the inroads from where I'm sitting in the UK to actually find the people who have the recordings. So I would love to add a few more of those African countries on there, just to kind of fill out the rest of the map a little bit, since we've got everything from the Arctic to the Antarctic and everything in between.
Wow. What kind of sounds do you have from the Arctic and Antarctica?
So we did a whole project a few years ago called Polar Sounds, which is a collaboration with a scientific institute in Germany. And they provided recordings of seals and humpback whales and seismic drilling and all these incredible undersea sounds they recorded over a period of 12 months through passive undersea recording. And they shared the whole collection with us for artists to work with, so that we could create compositions about man-made impacts on the polar seas and kind of our responses to that. So the Polar Sounds collection is another one that I'd really encourage people to listen to, because there's just some extraordinary sounds in there. Once you've heard a humpback whale singing, you never forget it.
So if people are listening and thinking, yeah, I think there's some sounds that I could contribute, I mean, is there a criteria? If someone just thinks, oh, it's interesting, I mean, what should they think about when thinking, should I send a sound in?
I mean, ideally, a sound tells you something about the character of a place. You know, if it's not unique, it's something that is quite characteristic of that place. Those are the kind of my favourite sounds. Other than that, all we really need is the location, a little description of what's going on in the sound, and that's kind of the size of it. And people can send sounds in at citiesandmemory.com.
Citiesandmemory.com. And then you send it, as you say, to this artist who does a bit of a remix. Why did you want that second element? Why did you want artists to then reimagine the sounds?
So in the whole kind of basic concept of the project was to bring together like the discipline and the art of field recording with also remix culture, and this idea of being able to take sound as source material in the way that John Cage would always say that all sound is possibility, you know, all sound is music, trying to play with that as a concept and play with it as an idea, and it creates something that's quite unique. You know, there's lots of collections of just field recordings and just sounds in the world, but there's nothing quite like Cities and Memory, where there's the collection of sounds, but there's also every single one of them has been reimagined, has been recomposed, has been worked with by an artist. So it's a really unique collection.
Yeah. Hey, Stuart, thanks so much for being on Nightlife to share this story with us and tell us about what you're doing.
Thanks for having me.
That's Stuart Folks, who is the founder, it's probably the sounder too, of Cities and Memories. So,